Well, welcome to week number 3 of our series called Inside Out. How many of you have been enjoying this series so far? Amen. It's a series about how to be emotionally and mentally and spiritually healthy as a believer. week number one, we talked about living in harmony. Week number 2, Pastor James talked to us about how even prophets get depressed. By the way, weren't those 2 great messages the last 2 weeks? I told Rodney and James, I said, man, you guys set the bar high. I'm going to have to bring my A game this Sunday. Amen. I have to make sure I step it up this week. So I want us to go to a passage that is the cornerstone of this series, Luke chapter 10, verse 25. And in many of your Bibles, that passage would actually be labeled as the most important commandment or the greatest commandment. Here's what the text says, Luke 10, 25. One day, an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question. Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus replied, what does the law of Moses say? How do you read it? And the man answered, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. He said, we love God in several different ways. Pastor Rodney covered this really well in week 1. With all of our heart, our emotions, with all of our soul, which is our spiritual self, our spiritual man, with all of our strength, which is our bodies, the physical part of us, with all of our minds, which is our intellect and our minds. And we also were to love God, what did the scripture say? By loving others. Love your neighbor. But it added something. It said, we love our neighbors as ourself. We love God through healthy relationships, but it's that add-on at the end that's what I want to preach about today. Loving others as you love yourself. That adds some dimension and some layers when you talk about loving yourself. It also adds a lot of misunderstanding to the command to love others. How am I supposed to love my neighbor? Jesus said, as I love myself. How do I figure out what that is? What does that look like? What does loving myself or even knowing myself in a healthy way even look like? And that's what I want to talk about today. Today's message is know yourself. Know yourself. All right, let's go to the word of the Lord, and we're going to start digging in a little bit on this subject today. Ephesians 4, verse 22. Says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self. Everybody say self. Self. Which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on your new self. Everybody say self. Created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. The Apostle Paul is telling us that there's an awareness of self, an understanding of self, and your relationship with God that are connected to each other. Specifically, the challenge is that we have to shed, or Paul said, to put off our old self. Some of the, depending upon what Bible you're reading, it might say the old man, or the old nature, which Paul was defining as that version of us that is corrupted by our deceitful desires. And then he said, you got to put on your new self, or that new man, or that new nature, the version of ourselves that is reborn and recreated to be like God in true righteousness, Paul said, and holiness. Now, Augustine wrote this. He said, and I quote, how can you draw close to God when you are far away from your own self? Grant, Lord, that I may know myself, that I may know thee. Now, don't miss that. That's what I want to talk about today. Grant, Lord, that I may know myself. Why? So that I can know you. You see, you need to know yourself so that you can know God. The reality is that a lot of people live their entire lives without ever figuring out who they are. Can the church say amen to that? Y'all gonna have to help a brother out today. I promise I'm going to give you my best if you'll just give me a little bit. Amen? Is that a good trade? See, people are trying to figure it out. Right? Do I need to be like someone else? Or am I going to constantly try to live up to the expectations of others? Or am I trying to be what I think or what we think the society expects for us to be? See, the challenge is that if you can't figure out who you are and what makes you tick, you are never going to live your life to its fullest potential in relationship with God or with other people. That's just a fact, amen? I'm embarrassed to say that it took me this long, and I'm going to share with you some insight into me today. I'm going to get vulnerable with you a couple of times. But I didn't really figure out who I was and who God intended for me to be until I was around the age of 40. Somebody say, that's old. Yeah. Amen. And I'm going to just tell you right now, it was not an easy journey for me. But before I talk to you about what knowing yourself means, I want to address something right up front about this whole understanding of self that we live in today. Because here's the reality. As soon as I say self, some of you just roll your eyes. Oh, Lord, here we go. We're going to have to listen to some New Age psychobabble today. Right? I mean, that's what a lot of people do. Self is a big word, and it gets plenty of use in our culture. Self-care, self-awareness, self-help, self-confidence, self-determination, self-discovery, self-enrichment, self-esteem, self-expression, self-fulfillment. Have I worn you out yet? Self-identity, self-improvement, self-indulgence, self-love, self-realization, self-reliance, self-respect, selfish. Not selfish, literally, but selfish. And don't forget this one, selfies, right? See, these terms have been used and they've been misused. And they've been thrown around so much that you know what we've done? We've created toxic extremes on both ends of the perspective. I'm going to talk to you about that today, amen? And you might fall on one of those extremes, or hopefully most of us are somewhere in the middle. On one hand, you've got the people who are over the top self-absorbed. If you're sitting next to one of them, don't look at them and don't elbow them, amen? And then on the other side, we got many people who totally neglect themselves out of fear of becoming like those people that are over the top, self-absorbed, right? Man, you see them, I don't want to be anything like them. And you've got this out-of-balance version that we so often see around us. See, for the most part, our society, and this is my opinion, we are not having a problem with focusing on ourselves. We are obsessed with ourselves. Amen. The obsession, though, is mostly on a superficial, artificial level that has not allowed us to get to the heart of the matter. Amen. See, when you hear people who may sound out of balance to you, we have to understand, you can't just throw the baby out of the bathwater. You can't just roll your eyes when people talk about getting to know yourself or taking care of yourself. There is a healthy self-awareness that we all need in order to do what Jesus said. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. You can't give people what you don't have. See, too many people have an identity crisis.
Right?
And they have no idea who they really are. And because of that, they can't grow to be who God called them to be. And I think part of the challenge to finding the right balance regarding self is also what we read in the Bible. Jesus didn't just say, love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus also said, if you want to please me, you've got to deny yourself. Well, how do we reconcile that? Matthew 16:24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple, what? Must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. That doesn't sound like a lot of self-help, does it? So which one is it, Pastor? Do I love myself? Do I know myself? Do I take care of myself? Or do I deny myself and take up my cross and follow him? The answer is yes. The answer is box E, all of the above. You remember those tests and you didn't really know what the answer was? You're just like, I'm just going to hit all of the above. Well, this is one of those all of the above moments. You can't deny yourself if you don't know yourself. Stick with me. You can't love yourself if you don't know yourself. You can't crucify your flesh if you don't understand your flesh. You can't renew your mind if you don't understand what makes you think the way you do. Know yourself. See, the problem is, much as it is in many areas of our lives, we tend to focus on the extremes. Some people take the term self-care to an extreme, right? And self-care for them is actually being self-obsessed because they've made an idol out of something that God has created, themselves. Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? See, and by the way, being overly obsessed with yourself is idolatry. Come on. And it's a big problem that we have in society, amen? Being overly obsessed with your career is idolatry. Being overly obsessed with your appearance is idolatry, amen? Being overly obsessed with your image can become idolatry masquerading as self-care if your life is out of balance, amen? I want you to hear what Paul said in 2 Timothy 3, 1 and 2. You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. Why? People will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. The problem wasn't that they loved themselves. The problem was that they loved only themselves. That's a life that's out of balance. And balance is the key in taking care of and knowing yourself. But then, all right, that's the one side. Then there's the people who are on the other end of the extreme, the eye rollers, right? The people who feel like, in order to fulfill the command to deny themselves any attempt at looking internally is just New Age nonsense. Amen? Come on. Trying to figure out things about your emotions and your personality, that's just being silly. Or trying to have some level of self-awareness is just being selfish. See, there's a book that I want to highly recommend to those of you, if you haven't read it, by Peter Scazzaro. It's entitled Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. And it has a tagline on the cover that I think is powerful. And I'm going to focus on this for a little bit in this sermon today. And he says this, it's impossible to be spiritually mature without being emotionally mature. In other words, you cannot be spiritually mature and emotionally immature at the same time. Amen? And folks, that's the whole reason we're doing this series today. Some of you need to embrace that statement, and you need to begin to unpack what it means in your own life. It's impossible to be spiritually mature without being emotionally mature. And this series is not just about emotional maturity, but the reality is that's where a lot of us need to start. Is with emotional maturity, because you can't be spiritually mature and neglect loving God with your heart, your mind, your strength, your soul, your relationships. Can I make it a little bit more plain? You can't be spiritually mature and emotionally immature at the same time. What is emotional immaturity? It simply means being ruled by your emotions, controlled by your feelings, or manipulated by your own mind. Don't miss those words. Ruled, controlled, manipulated. That's what emotional immaturity is. You can't be spiritually mature and prone to fits of rage and anger at the same time. I'm preaching right now. You can't be spiritually mature and controlled by your emotions all the time. You can't be spiritually mature and also dysfunctional in all of your relationships. I know a lot of people that think they're spiritual and every area of their life is messed up. You are not spiritually mature if your entire family walks on pins and needles not knowing which version of you is coming home from work today. Dr. Jekyll or Mr. Hyde, who are we eating with tonight? Come on. You're not spiritually mature if you're not making any effort to take care of the physical body that God gave you. You're not spiritually mature if you don't care about the people that God has put in your life. Come on. And in order to accomplish any of these things, it starts by looking on the inside. Everybody say, know yourself. Know yourself. Before you can live on the outside, loving and relating to others in a God-honoring way. Now, in the first two messages, Pastor Rodney, Pastor James, they mentioned that there are no bad emotions. But there are emotions that can be bad for us and for others when we let them spin out of control or manifest themselves in an unhealthy way. Did everybody get that? You kind of got that. If you weren't here, by the way, go back and watch those first two messages. And by the way, if you're watching online and you haven't watched those, just stop the tape right now. Go back and watch those two. Amen. Because it's important. One key to knowing yourself and becoming emotionally mature is that you've got to get comfortable with dealing with and interpreting your feelings. Now, most of us have been taught, especially in my age demographic, that you can't trust your feelings because they're unreliable. Matter of fact, the Bible even says that your heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can trust it, right? But hear me. God, though, created us to feel a wide range of emotions. There are hundreds of them, with different variances and nuances and blends of different emotions. Now, researchers have divided our emotions into 8 main categories. I'm just going to hit them real quick and keep moving. But there's hundreds that stem from those main categories. The categories are anger, sadness, fear, enjoyment, love, surprise, disgust, and shame. Now, in my own life journey, and I want to help some of you here today by personalizing this, I'm just going to tell you, it took me a long time to realize or even be willing to consider that God sometimes tries to speak to us through our feelings and through our emotions. Hear me, not in a way that compromises truth, not in a way that compromises who God is or who my relationship with Christ is, but in a way that shows you who you are and where you are in this specific moment of your life. I want to be real with you today. I never used to allow myself to go there. My response was that if my feelings did not edify me or make me feel good or help me have positive thoughts, my reaction always was to ignore them or suppress them until it felt better. By the way, that's not the right response. I want to make sure everybody knows that. Don't feel justified. Well, his life's okay. I'm going to just keep living the way I am. No. That's not what I'm talking about. I've come to realize something. God doesn't just speak in a still, small voice. Sometimes he speaks to me through that knot that I feel in my stomach. Sometimes he wants to say something to you through that headache and that muscle tension. That nervousness that you can't quite put your finger on. Sometimes the Lord will speak to you through that anxiety that you can't seem to shake. Come on, somebody. I see the counselor nodding, so I'm going to keep digging. Help me out, Brother James. See, folks, and I'm not just talking about blindly following your feelings. That, by the way, that is what the Bible is warning when it says that you can't trust your heart. But instead, you've got to acknowledge that your feelings and your emotions are part of the way that God communicates with you. Come on, know yourself. I want to help some of you who are like me. What makes this a challenge for us is that when we get in those difficult moments or feelings or places, we've got these unwritten rules against them. Against those feelings. And we just don't want to go there. If my feelings are pushing me down instead of lifting me up, you know what? I saw that as a sign of weakness. And I just needed to put on my big boy pants and get with the program. Anybody ever been there, right? If I felt like if I was discouraged, I just needed to have more faith. If I stayed defeated for too long, I started to feel defective. Not just defeated, but defective. Like there's something wrong in me. And if I didn't know what to do with something I was feeling, you know what? It was just easier to shut it down and push it down rather than to deal with it. I want to share something with you, and I hope it's a revelation to you today. When you neglect or ignore truly knowing yourself, you are actually shutting off a door of communication between you and God. Please don't miss this today. It took me a long time to figure this out. You're shutting off a door of communication between you and God. Sometimes God wants to show you something in that joyful moment. Sometimes God wants to teach you something or reveal something to you in that moment of loss. God will sometimes speak to you through your feelings if you can just stop and listen and ask him for guidance and for understanding and for discernment. Because here's what I know. You can't be spiritually mature and emotionally immature. at the same time. You can't deny your pain and your losses and your confusion and your feelings year after year after year of your life, because you become less human when you do. You just become a shell of what God created you to be. And all of a sudden, you're just going through your life like those emojis on your phone. Just this fake yellow smiley face. You know how when sometimes you see on social media, people try to blot out the pictures of their kids or whatever. And that's how some of us are living our life. I wish I had a big yellow smiley face. That's my prop that I missed. That's what I needed. But that's how we go through life. Now, I told you about my challenge to learn from my emotions, but the flip side of this is for all of you who very easily get in touch with your feelings and emotions. I want to say something to you too, and I don't want you to be offended. The challenge for those of you who can easily go there is that you do not get to emotionally vomit on everybody else around you in the name of self-care. Come on. Every time you get in your feelings, you don't get to just go off on everybody. You don't get to just explode and vent and then take your burdens off of your shoulders and put them on mine. God didn't design us that way, amen. That is also emotionally immature. You don't get to melt down on the people in your circle every time you get worked up about something. Can everybody just say amen to that right now? Come on, I'm talking about both ends of the extreme. Remember the definition I shared with you, what emotional immaturity is: being ruled by your emotions, controlled by your feelings, manipulated by your own mind. Ruled, controlled, manipulated. Now, I'm not a doctor. I'm certainly not a shrink. I don't have any physical evidence to prove what I'm going to say to you, but I guarantee you that a lot of the heart attacks and strokes and nervous breakdowns that people my age have is not from too many donuts and T-bone steaks. By the way, James, thank you. I've been turned free on carbs this week, brother. That sermon last week, I've been carbing it up, y'all. Amen. I've been carbing it up. Hallelujah. But you know what? It's from decades of suppressed and undealt with feelings and emotions. You know why people snap when they get to this season of life? Because they haven't dealt with anything healthy all the way up to now. And you can only take what you can take. Peter Scazzaro said it this way, a failure to appreciate the biblical place of feelings within our larger Christian lives has done extensive damage. Listen to this, keeping free in Christ people in slavery. Some of you love Jesus, you're going to heaven, but aren't you tired of living in hell on earth? Come on, somebody. And a lot of us, we're not living a victorious life because our inside out is not in harmony. Hallelujah. We are made in the image of God. And God, the one that we serve, he demonstrated a wide range of emotions throughout the scripture. I'm not going to preach about this today because we're going to hit it next week. But just real quick, I want to tell you, when God robed himself in flesh and came as his son Jesus, Jesus was not only divine, he was fully human. He was fully human. He experienced the full range of emotions as a man. And I think we do a great disservice to Jesus when we get so focused on his deity as God robed in flesh that we de-emphasize his humanity as the man Christ Jesus, the Son of God. He was our example. Amen. My point is that we are made in God's image and we need to know who we are in order to love our neighbors as yourself. You cannot have healthy relationships with others if you don't have a healthy relationship with yourself. Amen. And you can't reflect or respond thoughtfully to your feelings and emotions if you don't know what they are and if you don't know who you are. Dan Allender said this, emotions are the language of the soul. They are the cry that gives the heart a voice. So let's talk more about knowing yourself. I'm going to try to hurry. Thank you. I'm not going to take the time to read this today, but when you read about the temptation of Jesus by Satan in the wilderness, in the Gospels, it was more than just Satan trying to get Jesus to worship him. Okay? Satan was also trying to get Jesus to buy into one of those false identities or mask that he wanted him to wear. See, you got to realize the context. Up to this point, Jesus had not performed any miracles yet. He hadn't healed any sick people. He hadn't raised any dead people. He hadn't done anything momentous. Jesus was just getting ready to burst onto the scene. And you know what the devil did? He wanted him to doubt who he was and not know himself. And the devil still does the same things to us. And if you're going to know yourself, you've got to understand his tricks that keep you from knowing your true self. So here they are, the first temptation, the first lie that the devil used on Jesus that he still uses on us today to get you to not know yourself is this. The lie of, I am what I do. That's identity based on performance. Everybody say performance. Performance. Keep in mind, again, Jesus had not done any miracles. He'd not done any public ministry. And so the devil basically walks up and says, hey, Jesus, what have you actually done? What difference have you actually made? And the devil and culture and sometimes even our flesh ask us, what have you done to make a difference? Who are you really? It's the lie that what I do or what I have accomplished is what I am. See, we still have this faulty understanding of self that says I am worthwhile only if I've had enough success or enough wins under my belt in my career. And we really struggle with this in the Western world, in Western civilization. If I've had enough success with my family or my education or my finances, folks, don't base yourself on who you are based on your performance. Amen. We're reading a book right now in our marriage group called Grace Marriage. And the whole idea is you can't have a good marriage if it's performance-based. It's got to be grace-based. Amen. Your self-worth is not measured by what you accomplish. Performance-based worth. Here's the problem with performance-based worth. You feel awesome when you succeed. And you feel terrible when you fail. Well, if your worth is based on your performance, you feel great when you're doing good and all the bills are paid and you're checking off some of your goals and your task list is more done than not done. Man, you feel good about yourself. But the problem is when you've had a bad week, when you've made some bad decisions, come on, your self-worth goes down. Know yourself and it's not based on your performance. Here's the next lie that the devil told him. It was the lie of I am what I have, an identity based on possessions. Everybody say possessions. Possessions. Look what the devil did. He took Jesus up to the top of the hill, showed him all the magnificence of the earth, and the devil basically says, look around you. Look at all the stuff under my domain. What do you have? Fall down and worship me, and I will give it to you. And our culture plays on our fears and our lack of security when it comes to wealth and possessions, and it causes you to doubt your self-worth. American society, I think we struggle with this more than anywhere else in the world. We measure our success by what we own or by what we have. Your self-worth is not to be measured by your net worth. Amen? As adults, we measure ourselves also through comparison. Who has the most money? Who has the most beautiful body? Who drives the nicest car? Who's living in the most comfortable house? We got to stop letting this false, carnal, worldly system of measurement by possessions define who we are. Amen? Know yourself and know that your worth is not measured in perishable things. You still don't know yourself if you follow that lie of what do I possess or what do I have? And here's the third lie. I am what others think. That's identity based on popularity. You'll never know yourself if you're still believing that lie. Satan told Jesus, look, you haven't done anything. Throw yourself down from the high place. What? So the people will believe you. Do something to gratify the people. You haven't done anything. Do something that will affect how other people think about you. How many of you will admit that feeling invisible is a painful place to be? It's all right to admit that. Nobody wants to feel invisible. Most of us probably, though, place a higher value on what other people think of us than what we care to admit or even realize. Well, if you ever hear anybody say, I absolutely don't care what anybody thinks about me, they are lying. I'm just going to tell you right now, there's a part of every one of us that we want to be loved or we want to be liked. We want somebody to care about us. See, but true freedom really does come when you understand you don't have to be somebody special in the eyes of everybody around you. Amen. I want you to say this with me. Are you ready? I am good enough. Now we're going to say it a little bit faster. I am good enough. Now, one last time. I am good enough. Period. Amen. Come on. I don't have to be a big shot. I don't have to be somebody. I don't have to have authority and power and all this stuff. I don't have to get people's attention. And by the way, let me just say this. We all should have a healthy amount of ambition and desire. I'm not talking about just, you know, lay down flat and die. False modesty is not humility. Being confident and ambitious is not necessarily prideful. But there is a balance that we got to strive for. So you got to develop your true self. I'm going to hurry now. So going back to Ephesians chapter 4, words of Paul. How do I put off my old self and put on my new self? How do I choose before God how to be true to myself as God created me and not conform to the values and pressures of other people around me? How do I develop my authentic self? Well, first of all, let me just be honest with you. Getting to the core of who you are is scary business. It's scary business. God is inviting us today to take off the mask and remove any false layers that we have built up in order to protect ourselves. And you've got to dismantle and be willing to dismantle the false version of yourself, the old self, and allow that new self, the true self, the new self in Christ, as Paul put it, to emerge. So Paul, tell me then, how do I put off my old self and put on my new self? I'm going to give you four things and we're done. Are you ready? Here's number one. You got to tune out the distractions. Tune out the distractions. How many of you, this isn't a trick question, how many of you enjoy silence? I'm just looking around. Okay, probably a majority. How many of you cannot stand to be by yourself and you just silence just drives you berserk? Okay. I'm probably lean more toward that category myself. But sometimes when you're dealing with difficult emotions or seasons of your life, you know what you got to do? You got to cut out the noise so you can listen internally. Now, when I drive by myself and I'm in my car a lot by myself, I'm usually doing one of three things. Listening to the news, listening to a podcast, or I'm talking on my phone. Most of the time I'm talking on my phone. Anybody else in the room? Somebody bear witness. I don't want to feel like I'm usually talking on my phone. But you know what I did this week? And I did it intentionally because I was going to talk about this. I've been intentionally driving in silence just to practice what I preach, tuning out the distractions. Can I tell you it's been nerve-wracking? Initially. But then as I just rode along and I rolled down my windows and I started looking at the fall leaves. And I wasn't listening to Fox News and CNN. And I wasn't listening to my favorite leadership podcast and I wasn't talking on the phone. I just took a breath and I looked around. And I started feeling God talk to me. Come on, I'm trying to help you today. Some of the time this week has been that way. Sometimes you've got to get alone and listen. And when you get alone with yourself and with God, be intentional to try to listen. Allow yourself, this is going to feel weird, it was weird. You got to allow yourself to feel the weight of what you're thinking. Feeling. Because God may be speaking. You got to tune out the distractions to know yourself. Ask yourself things. Why did what Rodney said made me, why did it make me so angry? Why did, instead of celebrating when Jordan got that new job, instead of celebrating with him, why did I feel jealous? When David Rutherford won the lottery. No, he didn't really win the lottery. He won $7 3 weeks ago. Well, take that to Starbucks and add a dollar and you can buy a cup of coffee, my good friend. But see, so we got to ask ourselves, why did I feel some kind of way when she walked in the room? Why do I feel like this whenever this subject comes up? Why does this opportunity make me feel excited, but the opportunity presented to me last week terrified me? See, folks, sometimes God will communicate with us and talk to us and reveal things about us through our emotions, through our feelings, through what we're going through, and cause you to take a moment and do some introspection. God, what do you really think, God, about the stuff I dream about? God, what are you thinking about the things that I'm praying about? See, sometimes when you tune out the distractions, people, work, culture, social media, pressure to keep up or perform, you can hear God speak. And you can get to know your new self, your true self, the one that you are building each day to the glory of God. So tune out distractions. Number two, second thing you want to do if you want to learn to really know yourself, get around the right people. Can I confess to you one reason it took me until my 40s to figure out who I was is because I wasn't around the right people. I wasn't around bad people, but I was around the wrong people. I'm going to say that because there's a distinction there. I wasn't around bad people, I was just around the wrong people. You can't shed your old self if you are still hanging around with the wrong people. You need to find friends and mentors you can trust that will help you move in the right direction and advancing your identity in Christ. Who are the right people? Mature friends, spiritual friends, mentors, maybe someone in your small group. Let me just stop and say right here, small groups is not just a box we check during the week. God could be giving you divine relationship connections in your small groups. We don't just grow in this auditorium. We grow in the lobbies. We grow in the hallways. We grow in the parking lot. And we grow in our living rooms talking to other people. It might be a counselor. It might be a pastor. And you might be sitting here going, man, I love that idea, but there's nobody in my life that fits that description. Guess what your homework is? Pray and ask God to give you one. 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 I need that one person, God. Or maybe I just need to open my eyes and help me see who that one person is. See, the pressures from other people to keep us living lives that are not true to our authentic selves, lives that are not our own, that pressure is enormous. And that's why you got to be around the right people. Here's another way to learn to know yourself. Are you ready? Number three, get out of your comfort zone. How many of you will acknowledge it is way more comfortable to stay where you are than to change? Right? I'm going to be transparent with you. I could have stayed in the denomination I was raised in and not gone through nearly as much grief and heartache as I have gone through in the last 15 years of my life. But comfort is not what I was seeking. Authenticity and truth was. Amen? It was just a lot easier to stay put. Here's what I know. The pain of living a life that was not God's life for me finally became greater than the pain to change. I want to say that again because some of you need to write this down. You need to take it home. The pain of living the life that was not God's life for me finally became greater than the pain that it took to change. Amen. The truth in my life that God had been talking to me about for years, it made me feel smothered, trapped. I felt like I was buried alive. And I had to come to terms with those, what I thought initially were emotions, but then I started realizing these are God nods. This is God speaking to me. This is God revealing himself and his will and his plan to me by these uncomfortable feelings and emotions that are moving me. I hope this is making sense to some of y'all today. I had to get out of my comfort zone. Changing the way that you've lived for years and even decades, it requires nothing short of a revolution. Yes, hallelujah. How many revolutionaries do we have in this room? Come on, somebody. But do it for the glory of God. Let me put it in other terms that maybe you can identify with. It's way more comfortable to stay in your addiction than to try to get out. It's way more comfortable to stay in your destructive habits than to go to rehab. Come on. It's way easier to stay addicted than to go to a weekly meeting or to make new friends But hear me, we're not seeking what is easiest. We're seeking what is right. Amen? Come on. It's way easier just to plod along year after year after year in a stinky marriage than to go talk to a family therapist. But what do you want to do? I already told you before. Do you want to just go to heaven? Or do you want to go to heaven and live in a little bit of heaven on earth too? It's more comfortable to stay in the box than it is to get out of it. It's easier to swim with the current than against it. But get out of your comfort zone. Here's a question I want to ask you. Are you living and moving faithfully toward the life that God has asked you to live? Are you living and moving faithfully toward that life that God has called you and asked you to live? Not your flesh, not your friends, not your circle, not the paradigm that you've been raised in, not the box you've been in your entire life. Know yourself. And know what God wants you to be. Because here's what I know. The greatest gift that you can give to the world and to your family and to yourself is your true self living in loving union with God. Your true self. How can you affirm others if you can't affirm yourself? Know yourself. Keep making changes. Be willing to tolerate the discomfort that's necessary for your personal growth. And then the last point I want to make, praise team, come on up. Number four, see yourself the way God sees you. Hallelujah. And if you're a believer, this is probably the most important point of all. See yourself the way God sees you. I am a child of God. Hallelujah. See yourself not the way the world sees you, not the way your family sees you, not the people you went to school with see you. Amen. See yourself the way God sees you. And how does God see me? Psalm 139, 14. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Everybody say full well. Do you really know it full well? That you are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. Do you know that full well, or just a little bit? Or just on Sundays? Or just when you've had a good week? Or do you remember, I am a child of God? It's not prideful. God's the one who did that. Recognizing the truth that God did something awesome when He made you. Never forget that. Don't let anything that anybody does to you or says about you or anything that life throws at you make you forget that. God did something awesome when He made you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. That's how God sees you. That you've got to remember that. The psalmist David reminds us that we are the apple of God's eye. Did you know what that means? That literally means we are the pupil of God's eye. We're the most important part of the most important thing. Our eyes. You know, you talk about the five senses, right? We all know the five senses. I'm not going to remember them all. Smell, taste, touch, sight. What's the other one? Hearing. And you know, I remember as a kid growing, we always used to, okay, if you have to lose one of those, what would you lose? Eyes were the last one every time, right? Take away my smell. Take away my touch. Take away, but man, Lord, don't take away my eyesight. The Lord said, you are the apple. You are the pupil of His eye. Contemplate your value. Say, am I really that valuable? Yeah, because that's what the cross was about. God values you so much, and He proclaimed it loud and clear on the cross. You see, if you think your value is based on how many times you came to church this month, you're wrong. We want you to come every Sunday. Let me make sure that you know that. But that's not where your value lies. If you think your value to God is based on how many quiet times you had in prayer this month, that's not it. If you think your value to God is based on how much money you gave in the offering today, you're wrong about that too. Your value to God is based on what He proclaimed about you on the cross. I love you. and I give my life for you. I want you to stand all over this room. Everybody shout, know yourself. Here's the reality. We all live in accordance with our perceived identity. That's how we live. We live the way we see ourselves. In fact, you cannot consistently live in a way that is inconsistent with how you view yourself. You won't. You cannot live consistently in a way that is inconsistent with how you see yourself. That's hypocrisy. That's unsustainable. That's a recipe for a nervous breakdown. That's why you got to know who you are. If you see yourself as a helpless victim of Satan and his schemes, then that's what you're going to be. You're going to live your life like his victim, and you're going to be in bondage to his lies. If you see yourself as a loser from the wrong side of the tracks, then that's all you're ever going to be. But if you see yourself as a loved and accepted child of God that you really are, will begin to live and act like a child of God. So here's what we're going to do today. They're getting ready to sing. And I'm going to give an altar call today. Some of you maybe have been in that performance trap, that identity trap that I was in until I was age 40. Guess what? You don't have to wait till you're 40 to make that change. Or maybe you've gone, maybe that 40 ship's already sailed. I want to tell you, it's not too late to start living and being your authentic true self. You just got to step out of the box. You got to tune out the distractions and let God begin to help you unearth who you really are. You know what? I wish somebody would have preached this sermon to me 25 years ago. I wish I would have known that it was okay to get out of the box. I wish I would have known that it's okay to process my feelings and my emotions in a healthy, constructive way. And by the way, there's many ways to do that. For some of you, it's seeing a counselor. For some of you, it's getting in your prayer closet. For some of you, it's talking to your wife. Some of you, it's talking to your best friend. All of those things work. But you need to start that journey right now. Say, Lord, I want to know who I really am. I want to know what makes me tick. I want to know what makes me respond the way I respond. And I'm not going to put it on anybody else. I'm going to take ownership today so that I can be spiritually mature and emotionally mature at the same time. So here's what we're going to do. They're going to start singing, and I'm going to open up this altar, and I want you to step out from where you are and say, God, today is the day that I start turning it around. Today is the day that, Lord, I just ask you to create in me a clean heart and reveal to me, God, who I am. Help me, God, to be the man or the woman that you've called me to be. And I want you to just step out from where you are and come right down to this altar. Come all the way to the front. We want to make plenty of room for everybody. I want to invite you to come right now. God, I want to know myself. God, I really want to know myself. I want to know my true self, God. Know myself, Lord. I don't want to be afraid, God. I want to lay down my old self, and I want to pick up the new self that the Apostle Paul talked about. I want to be willing to walk into my destiny. I want you to shape me and make me who I need to be.
My Father has it.
just to help us today, God. I know that getting down to the inside, it's messy business, it's scary business. But Lord, everything that's in me, you've created. Every emotion, every feeling that I feel. So Lord, I just ask you to give me wisdom and discernment. Help me to know what it is, God, that you're speaking to me. Help me to know what it is about myself that you're revealing to me. And Lord, help me to be an emotionally mature believer. I don't want to be manipulated by my own mind. I don't want to be controlled by irrational thoughts. I don't want to allow my emotions to spill out recklessly and harm the people that are around me. Help me, God, to know what that looks like and to be the man or woman that you've called me to be. Help me, Lord, to lead my family with integrity and to show them the way. Help me to be man enough or woman enough to admit when I made my mistakes and to seek help when I need it. Help me, Lord, to be willing to get in my prayer closet and listen and hear and observe what it is that you're trying to speak to me. Lord, we don't want to be under the delusion that we're spiritually free when we're emotionally bound and when we're relationally toxic or when we're mentally scarred. But God, I want to be a whole man, and I submit myself to you. I am the potter, and you are the potter, and I am the clay. Mold me, make me, shape me according to your will. I'm a willing vessel, Lord, and I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, can we give him a good praise like we really mean it? Like we love him? Can we do that? Yeah, that's it. Woo! Hallelujah! God, I worship you. I adore you today. I magnify you, Lord. I'm thankful. Near you, a couple of somebody's, and just tell them, say, if nobody's told you in a while, you are awesome. Amen.
Hey, thanks for watching. Be sure to subscribe to this channel so you never miss one of our videos or live streams in the future. Also, take a moment and share this with a friend. Be sure to join us 9 a.m. or 11 a.m. each week live as we celebrate Jesus together here at Life Church. God bless you.